now 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is given these rapid-fire instructions. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, and blah, blah, blah. And he gets down here to verse 25. He says, brethren, pray for us. four words, but they're vital. And what I'd like to visit with you about tonight is this. Prayer for missionaries. Now, you get missionary cards. We'll distribute those tonight. And there are some requests on there. And a lot of times you'll get them, and you'll pray specifically for those requests and go. But there are some things, having visited the field, that you should know about when you're praying for missionaries that are helpful to add to your prayers. But before we talk about those, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will do our study tonight. Cade, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. So Paul said, brethren, pray for us. And of course, Paul, in that capacity, is writing to the church in Thessalonica, but Paul is out doing his work. And so I think it's important to recognize how vital it is to the ministry of missionaries that we pray. And I want to give you some things specifically that you can pray for. You might already have some ideas, but I want to reinforce those or add to your list if you don't already know about these. These are not in any specific order. I would say, first of all, pray for their safety. Pray for their safety. We've had the opportunity to visit mission fields. Some of you have gone with us on trips. And being on the mission field can be very dangerous. There are, among other things, road hazards, traveling hazards. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When we were in Zambia several years ago, the potholes in the road could be seen from the moon. They're better described as craters. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 25, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Paul said, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. There are traveling hazards. Even Paul experienced those with three shipwrecks. He also talked about some other problems with his journeys in verse 26. So when you pray for a missionary, pray for their safety. It's vital because we've been in various fields. We were with on one field where the missionary was involved in a traffic accident that took a man's life. And in a foreign country, you can imagine that he's going to be considered the guilty person. God had to intervene in that thing, which he did. And he was blessed by having the opportunity to even preach the funeral for the family of the deceased. And they understood that the person that he hit was actually liable for his own death. That's a very unusual thing. That could have sent that missionary home. Where we were on our recent two-week trip, and I might not mention it by name, coming down from the mountain and heading into the main city, it's crazy. It's wilder than anything you've ever seen in your life. But buses pass cars and vans and motorcycles on blind turns and blind hills. And cars have to move over and run off the road, and they do all that and then come back on. And I didn't see one accident. And we saw thousands of these. And I know we're involved in this while we're traveling. And I'm thinking, you know, God's hand of protection on these guys after 25 years of being on that field is absolutely evident. So pray for their safety, not only in road hazards, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're still talking about their safety, and we could talk about a number of things, but these two are evident. They're road hazards, and then their adversaries. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 32. Paul said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? You see what Paul's saying there? When I was in Ephesus preaching to the Ephesians, I was up against beasts. Now, the elders that Paul called to him in Acts chapter 20 before he went to Jerusalem were the elders of Ephesus. So there's a very vital work there, lots going on, and a good work, and people he wanted to spend time with before to Jerusalem. But when he was there, he had to fight with beasts at Ephesus. There are adversaries to missionaries on any field. There are people that don't want you there. Most fields involve religious people, either through superstition or through a known religion like Catholicism or Buddhism or an Orthodox religion. And for you to come in, or for a missionary to come in and preach salvation by faith in Jesus Christ as a free gift, cuts into their religious control and shines light on their superstition. They don't want you there. When Bob Murphy was alive and he was in Romania, he got permission from the mayor of the city to use a conference hall in order to hold an evangelistic meeting. It was early in his ministry there, and hundreds of people were going to come. And the priests absolutely intervened politically and visibly to thwart that meeting and to keep people from going there. And you need to pray for their safety. You can read in Paul's life how he was whipped and beaten and stoned and imprisoned. They don't usually go to that extreme, although they have in some countries. But it's a lot of times a very dangerous work. So when you're praying for missionaries, you may not see on the card, pray for their safety, but it's a good thing for you to pray for. Another thing to pray for is helpful companions. Helpful companions. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Not only do they need safety in their travels, safety in their ministry from adversaries, but they need helpful companions. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 for the context. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew there named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Now you got to know, when Priscilla and Aquila were in Rome and they were commanded by Claudius to depart from Rome, they're looking at that situation and saying, man, this is a bad deal. Who does this government think they are and running us out of town? They're looking at it, you know, could look at it as a political maneuver. And as a diaspora, Jews, get out of here. But God's on this thing, because they end up in Corinth and they get there when Paul arrives and these find each other. Now, I don't know how big Corinth was at that time, but wouldn't have been a small place being a shipping village like it was. I mean, a city seaport like it was. So for these to meet by the divine providential arrangement of God was a miracle. And you read the life of Aquila and Priscilla and how they ministered with Paul and started a church in their own home. They were very, very valuable to Paul. We've had the opportunity to go from field to field and see a lot of things. Every time we find that missionaries that are succeeding to accomplish what God wanted them to do on the field have been able to do so because God introduced them to people he had on the field ready to help them with the work that they did. I'll give you one example. When we were in Ukraine, the Russian Bible has now been translated, the King James Bible has now been translated into Russian. And when it's being distributed, they're telling them, we're not giving you an updated Russian Bible, we're giving you the King James Bible in Russian. And that's very helpful because they know exactly then the authority upon which that Bible was translated. You say, well, that doesn't seem like any big deal. The main translator on that is somebody who, when he was a child, loved literature. And you know who he loved to read the most? Shakespeare. And so he read all of that poetic stuff and read a lot of old classical literature. And got saved, the way he got saved, his son was 12 years old and went to evangelistic meeting, heard preaching, and then came home and told his Orthodox mother and father, by the way, I have gotten saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell when you die. Amen. And they were like, kid, you are nuts. Oh, he, of course, didn't. I mean, he was zealous, right? He was 12 years old. He didn't realize how that looked from his parents' perspective. But his persistence finally convinced his mother to go to church, which she did. She got saved. And then she convinced her husband to go to church, and he got saved. Then he began to read the Bible voraciously. And he also read the King James Bible, and he realized there's some things in the King James Bible that aren't in our synodal text. There's a problem here. Then Demopoulos shows up on the scene, and then God puts them together, and he's the lead translator on this thing until they get it done 20 years later. God had done that way back. Where we just came from, the man who is the right-hand man of our missionary, when he was a young man, decided that he would be a taxi driver when he grew up, because that's a profitable business in that country. And so when he had a bicycle, he started riding his bicycle all through the city to get to know the streets. And then when he got a motorcycle, he rode his motorcycle all through the streets to memorize the streets of his major city. That way, when he was licensed to drive, he'd be ready. Well, our missionary needed transportation and hired him as a taxi driver one day. That's how they met. And today he is the right-hand man. Our missionary could not function the way that he does if it weren't for this man. And this man, who wanted to, after he thought he had been called to preach, finds that he is more valuable to the ministry doing what he's doing than he would have been had he been able to preach in a government-controlled church. You know what that is? That's helpful companions. Missionaries that we find that don't do well on the field are missionaries that never build the relationship with people that God has for them, probably because they don't realize that God has put these people in their lives and they took the time to build that relationship. So pray for them and pray for their helpful companions. Another thing is found in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You're aware to pray for this, but we'll mention it because you're usually not aware to pray for this until you hear there's a problem. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Pray for their health. Drink no longer water, Paul says to Timothy, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine, what? Often infirmities. You know, foreign fields are not like America, unless perhaps you're in Europe. The food is different, and the parasites and germs are different, and the water is different, and the temperatures are different. The environment is different, and the things that you're exposed to. Our missionary that we recently visited, his wife cannot be with him. He's been there, 25 years. His wife was only able to stay 7 of those years, and then has had to live here because got exposed to some things that have chemically affected her body, and she'll be affected for the rest of her life. And yet he knew that he was called to that field and committed his life to do it. And so they have found a way to make that work. Just a tremendous thing. Some guys can't find a way to make that work. But you need to pray for their health because there are a lot of things that can go bad. And we've got missionary friends that have come home because either they or their spouses couldn't handle it. We heard a letter tonight from the Ruse, and they've both experienced bad health problems. On the field, he's had cancer treatments, she's had thyroid treatments, he's had dental problems. They didn't quit, but they need the grace of God in great degree to help them when their health starts to fail like that. You remember Brother Tillman and what happened to him. He had a heart attack that could have taken his life, and the people there in Bangkok took care of him, got him home, and today he's 85 years old. He's dealing with prostate cancer now, but all these years he served since then, and I think he has 17 stents in his body. And the Lord just kept that ever-ready bunny hopping. You do that, you pray for him. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, and you don't have to wait till you hear that they are having a medical problem to know that they need prayer for their health. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and what we're talking about here is pray for their provisions. And when you pray for their provisions, it's a two-pronged thing. You've got to pray that God will supply the need, but you've also got to pray that they'll have the wisdom to work within the provisions the Lord has given them, because they're oftentimes meager. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." He learned that because God put him in those situations. Some missionaries are reluctant to do anything for the Lord when they're abased, not realizing that God is putting them in school. And then sometimes when they abound, Walmart gets more of the money than the field does. And it's just a matter of not understanding what to do with the provisions. Paul says, continue in verse 12, "Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So they helped him early on. Now they're flourishing and they're giving again toward the end. Paul didn't always have the benefit of their help. And so he learned how to get by when he was hungry. He learned how to get by when he was also when he abounded, and what to do with that extra money. You know, the provisions of the ministry, you don't hear about all of them. Missionaries that write missionary letters are wise not to mention all the needs, lest you think that they got over there to simply beg. But let me just say that if you see it in the letter, you can be sure there are many more needs than what's stated in the letter. Now, you respond well to their needs, but God doesn't let us give them everything they need in this church. And the reason is there are a lot of churches that support them, and God wants each church to do the part that each church is to do. So it's very important that they get the message. It's very important that we pray for the missionaries and that God makes those provisions. Every field is different. You cannot, from our vantage, you cannot say this amount of money will take care of it. They don't even know sometimes what the need's going to be until it arises. So pray for their provisions. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. I'm going to give you two more, this one and one more. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. A lot of times, and I say that about the things you're hearing tonight, because a lot of times when you get these cards, you don't see in there, Randy will mention to you financial needs that we should consider helping, but you don't read about all those in here, in these missionary prayer requests. Matthew chapter 10, when the Lord sent His disciples out in verse 16, He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Remember, we're talking about praying for their safety. "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." A lot of men have to come home from the ministry because they have not exercised wisdom on the field. They have made mistakes in their zealous approach to the gospel, not considering the culture or the law. The missionary that I was just with said, a missionary must know three things to be effective on the mission field. He must know the language. He must know the culture. And I've repeated those two, but I never repeated this third one. And he must know the law. He said, if a missionary goes to a field and he doesn't know the law and he runs against that law, they will kick him out of the country. He has to know how to function with wisdom within the requirements of the country. That's a very wise statement. He said there are a number of missionaries that are not here today because they did not understand the law and abide by the law. So they need to have wisdom, not only about the language and culture and law, but they also have to have wisdom about this. What am I doing here? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Same point. It's just a subpoint. Acts chapter 9. They've got to have wisdom, and you want to pray for their wisdom. Look what the Lord said in verse 15 to Ananias about Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. What God said to Ananias about Paul. The Lord said unto him, go thy way. Watch it. About Paul, he is a chosen vessel unto me. And when Paul talks about himself being a chosen vessel, he will say later, he separated me from my mother's womb. You know what we don't realize is we think God started paying attention to us after we got saved. And before that, God wasn't paying any attention to us. But when you read through here and you see that God had called Jeremiah from the womb, and John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, and in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after you get saved, you are God's workmanship, and you are ordained. You know something? Your arrival into this earth when you were born, God noticed that. It's not like God doesn't know who these people are here. And your personality and your physical characteristics and your makeup and your emotion and your mental capacity and all that stuff, here's what he wanted. He wanted to save you, and then he wanted to use that equipment. He knows what you're made of. You saw him 139. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows whether you're naughty or nice. Consider the time of year. So when God calls somebody to a field, he doesn't call them to emulate the pastor that trained them or under whose ministry they were called, or to emulate the man who trained them in a Bible college. He called them because they have special characteristics that he wants to use on that field. And they need wisdom to understand that God is going to use them in that capacity. You'll hear more about this Sunday night, but where we just went, I've met a lot of people in the ministry, but there is not another person that I have ever met that could do what that man is doing on that field, the way that he's doing it. And all you can say is, even from his days when he was in that country before he was serving God and before he was called to preach, God had his hand. He was getting that man ready for what he's doing today. And they need wisdom. They need missionaries need wisdom to understand that. I am here because God called me here. How does God intend to use me here and have the wisdom to fit that thing? Just like God when it takes it's a very serious prayer request. Last thing. And let me say, there are many other things that I've seen on lists that you can pray for missionaries. These are just fresh on my mind from what we've recently experienced. I thought I might pass them along to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 17. Now Paul has come to the end of his ministry. He's in prison. He's going to trial. And when he gives his, answer in court in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, he says in verse 16. Verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, watch it, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He's talking about the devil. He talked about those beasts in Ephesus. He's talking about those physical people, those people you see there, those beasts that are there. But here he's talking about the devil. The devil is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. All right, so he says, he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Let me tell you something. God is real, and the gospel is real, and the Spirit of God is real, and the preaching of the gospel really does save people's lives. And the Word of God really does change people's lives. And there is a real devil and there is a real spiritual opposition to God and what God is doing. And when God is on a field, preparing a field, preparing a man, and moving that, the devil is right there. The country we just visited is spiritually dark, blind, and impoverished. And it's very, very more evident to our missionary than it is to me, because when you go like we did and you only spend a couple of weeks there, every sight, every sound, every smell is brand new to you. And you're like, whoa, it's so different. You're taken by everything you can see. He lives there. And he related to me, he said, this is one of the most spiritually blinded, darkened, impoverished countries on the earth. And just massive amount of wickedness. We'll talk more about that Sunday night. But that, let me tell you, those spiritual influences take their toll on the man and his family. Temptation. You deal with temptation here. It's exacerbated when you're on the field because of the spiritual influences that you're contending with while you're there. To watch this missionary function, you wouldn't think that he is doing anything to counteract it. He is, but what I'm saying is he's balanced. He's functioning. He's not walking around going, I'm sure there's a devil around every corner, and playing the ooey ooey game. He's functioning. But those presences are there. And our missionaries on the field need our prayers for their spiritual protection. I was talking to Brother Baker, who's in Hawaii, and he said, this is a very spiritually dark country. We were at a pastor school together earlier this year. And he said, you really need to help us. You need to pray for us about this. And I said, like what? He said, well, I was in my bedroom one day. And I know these things are there because we minister, we sense it in the lives of other people. But I was walking through my bedroom one day and something just grabbed me and threw me down on the bed. And he said, I knew what it was. Well, I knew it was something that was spiritual, and I began to pray just like you would, and like it says here in Ephesians chapter 6, and arm yourself. So I went on about that, but he said, you don't see those kind of things in your country, but you don't have the kind of stuff going on pervasively like we do here. And he told me some other things that I won't repeat now about that, those experiences. And I'm thinking, wow, that is so strange, because you don't see that regularly in your country yet. And these guys do. Brother Simish, you heard about that tonight. He said he preached a sermon when we were in Washington, in Linwood, for that meeting, that conference at the end of August. And he was talking about, lay not wait, O wicked man, at the gate of the righteous, and spoil not his resting place, from Proverbs. He said, in Thailand, it's dark. Same kind of, we got a spiritual darkness there because of so much idolatry. And he said, when I'm not home, things are quiet for my wife, Suzanne. But when I'm home, he said, there are 20 dogs in the neighborhood that come right up to our gate and they howl all night long. And he said, I know what it is. It's just a pervasive spiritual influence there. Spiritual wickedness. And he said, so we really need to pray for their protection and those kind of things, because it's just a lot more difficult than it is here to do the same work that we do here. So I thought I'd just bring those to you. Brethren, he said, pray for us. Pray for their safety. Pray for their helpful companions, their health, their provisions, their wisdom, and their protection. You say, well, if I do all that, we're going to be there a while. Well, you get to do that for a few minutes each day. They have to live there for a lifetime. So let's help them. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to give us something from the Scripture that is very helpful, and we pray will be noticeably helpful to our missionaries. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.